We thank you this morning for all that's transpired so far. And we just, again, thank you for making us a part of your kingdom, making us a part of your family. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the family of God. And we thank you for this time to be together. It's precious. And we just wish everybody would join in on this celebration and this great time to be together with one another. Lord, your word says how special it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And we thank you, Father, for that unity here. And we thank you, Father, for just what you've laid on my heart to share. And we just ask that you would help me present it, Lord, just the way you want it to be shared. And Lord, I pray that the truth would be imparted to each and every one of us and build us up and minister to each and every one of us where we're at. For all that and more, we just give thanks to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. You know, I was just thinking here that there's a scripture out of Romans 11:33 that this kind of made me want to just share that, you know, at the beginning of this message here. And it says this: "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." You know, when you look at that, you might at first be a little discouraged and think, you know, I can't find out God's so beyond me that I can't, you know, get to know him. He's so immense. He's so large. And he really is. He's limitless, you know. And in some ways, it seems like, how do you get to know somebody who's limitless? And we're kind of finite beings ourselves. But the truth is that even though his ways are past finding out, he's unsearchable in his judgment, he still wants us to stop and get to know him, you know? And we can. We can get to know him, and I'm sure that we're going to get to know him even more in our glorified body. We'll have the capacity, I think, to know a lot more than we're able to know right now, but that doesn't mean we're limited in you know, getting to know some things about him. So I think it's important that we strive to seek the Lord. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 17, verse 3, the word says this: "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So the word is telling us that it is possible to get to know God. Amen? We can get to know him in a very intimate, relational, and personal way. And we should. Hallelujah. In John 6:69, Simon Peter said this to Jesus: "Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So it took them some time and seeing different miracles and just the things that Jesus taught to get to know him as the Son of God. Amen. They were surprised when he stilled the waters, you know, and the ocean or the sea calmed down, and the weather, you know, the storm subsided, and they looked at each other. Did he really do that? You know, and they were getting to know him. They were getting to know his power and who he was, and so over time they come to know him as Savior and as Lord, amen, and as the Son of God. God wants everyone to know him. Everyone to know him. His nature, his characteristics, his ways, his power. And I believe over time, as we read the scriptures, the Old Testament into the New Testament, that's exactly what God was doing, was he was revealing himself little by little by little over time. Amen? Here a little, there a little, enough for them to digest and move on and get to know another aspect of him. And we see evidence of this throughout Scripture, amen? In ancient times, names revealed characteristics about people, amen? And meanings were attached to them. So names were very important. And God's no exception. His names reveal some things about him as well. Hallelujah. He revealed himself over time, introducing himself by his various names. And I want to share some of those with you today. and then share a final name I think that's really important for us to think about. And the first one here begins when Moses was out in the wilderness. He was with Jethro, his father-in-law, and he was tending his father-in-law's sheep. And he was near Mount Horeb, or Mount Sinai. And we're just going to read a portion of it. It comes to us out of Exodus chapter 3, verses 2 through 6. Exodus chapter 3, 2 through 6. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Amen. And verse 6 says, moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Amen. Moses took his sandals off because he understood, you know, that was a sign of reverence. And how many know that we need to reverence the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. Pulling off of the shoes was an emblem of laying aside the pollutions contracted by walking in the way of sin. Amen. Way of sin. And we see that in the New Testament. If you're witnessing, Jesus told his disciples, if you're witnessing and they don't receive you, just brush the dust off your feet. You know, I don't want nothing to do with this town or people. You know, if they want to remain in sin, let them remain in sin. It's their choice. But we're moving on and we're going to share the gospel, you know, elsewhere. Amen. So now Moses, he was seeing God here as a holy God, a holy God. And how important it is that people see the Lord as a holy God. Amen. In the same chapter, in verses 10 through 15, the word says this, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Amen. So Moses is hearing about another side of God here. He's hearing about the side of God who has always been, who am or is, and who will always be. That's an important side that we need to know. We don't need to know that God is powerful and good up to a certain point, and then he extinguishes himself, or, you know, he's not around. We need to know, is he going to be there always? And so Moses learned that this side of God exists. So that same day, he learned that God had a holy side, and that he had an eternal side as well. Amen. Pretty important information for us to know. Hallelujah. Later on, Moses went back to Egypt. And he was to lead the Israelites, the Hebrews, out of Egypt. And God spoke to him again. And we find what the Lord said here in Exodus chapter 6, verses 2 through 3. It says, and God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. So God had revealed himself in one way to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but in another way, he had not revealed himself. So you know, there's so much to God to learn, and so we see here that to Moses, he did reveal himself as Lord as well. And what is that definition? What does Lord mean here? It means that he is God Almighty. He is El Shaddai. He is the God who is enough. Amen? He is a God all-powerful and all-sufficient. We need to know that. You know, when we have a relationship with God, we need to know, can he supply my needs? Is he all-sufficient? You know, does he come up short? Can he get the job done? Amen? He is the God who is more than enough. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 through 26, he reveals himself again. In Exodus 15, verses 22 through 26, let's read there. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Then he cast it into the waters. The waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them. There he tested them and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God to do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Amen. Hallelujah. Nice to know he's the Lord who heals us. Amen. Praise God. There might be times when, you know, we need God's healing power to touch our bodies. Glory to God. So he's the Lord who heals us. Amen. That word heal means is Rapha, which means to cure, to heal, to repair, to mend. Amen. To restore health. And that's who God is to us. He wants to restore our health. Amen. We don't want just God to supply our needs, but not heal our bodies. Amen. When we have need of that, we need God to take care of a lot of aspects of our lives. Amen. In Hebrew, the Lord who heals you is Yahweh Rophika. And we know him as, or know that name as Jehovah Rapha. Amen. Yahweh Rophika or Jehovah Rapha. And the interesting thing about all this is this, that God stays the same. He can't change. His names can't change. And who he is, his nature, his characteristics, they cannot change. If he was once Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you, he will always be that. Amen? He can never change. Praise God. Amen. And we can have confidence in that, knowing that that wasn't just for the Old Testament, you know, believers. That's for the New Testament now, because God will never change over time. Praise God. Amen. A couple chapters later, God again reveals himself by another name. We find that in Exodus 17. Let's read what that says there. Exodus 17, verses 8 through 16. It says, "And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptian." Excuse me, I'm in the wrong chapter. Verse 17, chapter 17, 8 through 6. Okay. And it says here, "Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.' So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported the hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun." That's how important helps ministry is there. Huh? They were helping out Moses. Verse 13. "So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this for a memorial in a book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven.' Verse 15, "And Moses built an altar and called its name, "The Lord is my banner." For he said, "Because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." So he discovers the Lord is his banner. And the word for that is Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi. Amen. So God is saying here that he is the standard under which Israel and subsequently you and I will possess victory. Amen. If you have need of victory in your life over, you know, spiritual enemies or whatever you're dealing with, he is Jehovah Nissi to you. Amen. He is your banner. Amen. Hallelujah. His standard bearer. Hallelujah. Other names of God goes by in the Old Testament are these. We're just going to run through them kind of quick here. Elohim. Elohim, meaning that he is majestic ruler of all. Amen. He's pluralistic. He's a triune Godhead. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Elohim. In Genesis 14, 18, he's referred to as El Elyon. E-L-Y-O-N. Elyon. The Most High God. Amen. He is sovereign and he is preeminent. There is no God above him. Satan should have learned that one. Lucifer, if he had learned that one, you know, and lived by it, he would not have fallen. Wouldn't have taken a third of the angels. A third of the angels, they didn't know him by El Elyon. That's how important it is. Eternally separated from God because they didn't believe that name. They didn't know he was preeminent or didn't accept that. Adonai. He is Adonai, Lord, Master, Owner, the one in charge. Amen. He is in charge. He should be in charge of our lives. Everything we think, say, and do. Amen. Hallelujah. Genesis 21, 33 says he's revealed as El Olam. El Olam. O-L-A-M. He's the everlasting God. The everlasting God. He is perpetual, existing beyond space and time. El Olam. Hallelujah. He is Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. Amen. He is the Lord who will provide. Glory to God. Genesis 22, 14. Jehovah Jireh. How many need provisions? Each of us, each and every day. Amen. He is the provider. He's also known as Elkanah. That's Q-A-N-N-A, Elkanah, which means he is a jealous God. He's jealous over you, but he has, his jealousy is a righteous type of jealous. Some people, you know, are jealous in the wrong way, but God's a jealous God in the right way. In other words, he doesn't want us to have anything or any God above him. Amen? He should be first place in our lives. He's jealous for that. He wants that intimacy for us. And not only that, he longs for us to make sure that he is first place because it's best for us. Amen? It's best for each and every one of us to keep him first and foremost, even above ourselves, our family, anybody. Amen? That's a good, healthy way to live. In Genesis 31, 13, he is known as Jehovah Mekadeshkem. Mekadeshkem. M-E-K-O-D-D-I-S-H-K-E-M. Jehovah Mekadeshkem. In other words, he's the Lord who sanctifies you. Well, we need sanctified, don't we? Hallelujah. He is a God who sanctified. He sets us apart for holiness. Amen. We need that in our lives, to be holy and sanctified before the Lord. And that's what he says in the scriptures of the New Testament. He says, you know, that he wants us to be sanctified holy, you know, body, soul, and spirit. Amen. So he's Jehovah Mekadeshkem. He's also known as Jehovah Shalom, Shalom, which is the Lord of peace. Amen. He wants our lives to be really absent from strife. I know we live in a world, a fallen world, and sometimes that's difficult, but we can have that peace on the inside of us. Amen. Be absent from strife. And the more and more people that get to know the Lord and live by the way the Lord would have us to live, there's less and less strife. I believe there's complete peace in heaven. Amen. It's perfect peace. Glory to God. Amen. There's a verse in Psalms 131:1. It says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen? In unity. And that's only going to be possible through God. He is the God of peace. Jehovah Shalom. Hallelujah. He's also Jehovah Sabaoth. S-A-B-A-O-T-H. Sabaoth. The Lord of armies or the Lord of hosts. Amen. We find this mentioned in 1 Samuel 1:3. In other words, he's there to defend us or fight our battles and win our wars. Okay? So he's a God for all occasions, you know, all circumstances. And how many circumstances do we run into? Quite a variety of them in this life. Amen? And so we need him in all circumstances. In Psalms 23:1, he's described as Jehovah Raah, R-A-A-H, amen. He's the Lord is my shepherd, amen. He's a shepherd, he's a good friend. He's there to supply our nourishment, amen, protection, and rest, amen. I like that, hallelujah. A good friend, a shepherd, just like a shepherd would take care of his sheep and have them lie down in green pastures. He's like that for us. Amen. He wants to give us rest, protection, nourishment. In Jeremiah 23:6, he tells us that he is Jehovah Tsidkenu. T-S-I-D-K-E-N-U. It's Jehovah Tsidkenu, which means he is our Lord, our righteousness. Amen. He's a God of justice. He's a God who does right by us. Amen. When the world isn't fair, God is. God is fair. He's just. He's right. Amen. Lastly, he is the Lord. He is the Lord is there. That's an interesting one. He is the Lord is there. He's Jehovah Shammah. And what that means, he is the God who will not forsake you, not forsake us. He's not a God who thinks somebody else is special, but you're not. Amen. Each and every one of us is it special to God? He's always with us. He thinks more about you probably than you think about yourself. Amen. So many thoughts he thinks towards each and every one of us. He's always there. He knows every detail about us. And he doesn't forget a thing. Amen. So no matter where we're headed, where we're going, he's there ahead of us. Amen. He's with us and he's ahead of us. Amen. He's Jehovah Shammah. Glory to God. He's the Lord who is there. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I wanted to point out these various names because I think it's important for us to really see the different sides of God. Like I said, we our lives are lived in. We have different circumstances where, you know, sometimes we need to be healed. Sometimes we need provision. Sometimes we just need to know that he's there for us, you know, to receive comfort and peace. There's so many, or we're coming up against a difficult situation. And we're receiving opposition, and we need to know that God's going to be there to protect us and defend us and so forth. So we need to know that God can do it all. Amen. He's a God for all seasons. Glory to God. All circumstances, under any circumstances and every circumstance, there is nothing, in no way, greater than himself. Amen. And we need to know that. But there's one other name I want to point out this morning here. And it's a name we're all familiar with, I think. But it's important for us to meditate on and to understand. And that is, what's interesting about it is we find it not only in the New Testament, we find that name in the Old Testament as well. And that name is Father. Name is Father. Hallelujah. It's important for us to know what that name means and the fact that he is a Father God. What does that name mean to you and I? Most New Testament mentions of the name Father mean just that, Father, parent, okay? He wants to father us. Glory to God. Amen. He's just not God, but he wants to father us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a name that tells us that he's interested in a familial relationship. He wants a family. Amen. He doesn't want just us to be, you know, we come here and we're related in the sense that we receive Christ as our Lord and say we're in the family of God, but in the natural sense, we're still belong to different families. Amen? But God wants to bring His family together. Amen? He wants us to be family with Him. Glory to God. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 15, the Word says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Amen? He wants us to be a family. Glory to God. That's nice to know that we don't have to feel like an outsider with Him. Amen? We can feel close and intimate with Him because He wants to be our daddy. Hallelujah. I remember years ago, I worked downtown at a group home, and a guy I worked with, co-worker, he was going to college, and he stayed downstairs where the desks were, and I said, "Well, I'm going upstairs," and he was kind of the guy, wanted to get to know you. "What do you got in that bag?" And I said, "Well, I got my Bible and stuff like that," and I said, "Okay," and I said, "Well, while you're down here, I'm just going to go upstairs and talk to my daddy." He said, "I like that. Talk to your daddy, huh? Yeah, okay." And I come to find out that he had grown up in church, and he'd had a distorted view of our daddy. You know, daddy was a mean daddy. You know, it was all about coming down on people. You know, now I'm not going to make excuses for sin. I'm not saying that God's pleased with sin. He's not. Amen? He doesn't like sin. But there's other sides to God as well. And God's a loving Father. And we need to know Him as such. Amen? He's our daddy. He's our papa. Amen? Hallelujah. He's a good God. Amen. So all of us have close friends, but there's something special about our immediate family, isn't it? You know, something a little bit closer there, a closer connection. Amen. And so it's the same thing with God as well. He wants a close connection, amen, with us and with Him. Hallelujah. He wants us to be family. Hallelujah. So not only is He called Father to those who believe in Jesus Christ, we are also called the sons of God. We are the children of God. Amen? And that's special. It's important that we know that we are His children. And it's not a small thing to know or to understand and believe in, because he didn't have to do that. He could have just saved us and said, "Okay, you'll be my servants, my subjects," and that's the depth of our relationship. But He said, "I want you to be more than that. I want you to be my sons, my daughters. I want you to be your daddy, okay? And I want an intimate relationship with you." In Romans chapter 8, verses 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Amen? So He wants us to be sons of God, and that includes women as well. Romans 8:15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Abba, Father. A young lady many, many years ago in college said, you know, she had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and all she was saying was, "Abba, Abba, Abba, Abba." And she said, "I just didn't feel like, you know, I was, you know, receiving that gift of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues." And she come to find out that Abba means Father. That's right. So she was saying something, you know, she might not have understood it, but she was saying Father. Amen. And so praise God. That's in us, the spirit of adoption, whom we cry out, Abba, Father. That's special. Romans 8, verses 16 through 17 says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." Amen. So we're not only children of God, we are heirs of God. Amen. You know, it's almost like the Father God is trying to prove in multiple or various ways what this relationship is all about. It truly is a father-son relationship. Amen? In various ways. Hallelujah. How so? Well, think about it here. In as believers, you know, we all have a knowing on the inside, our inner man, that the Spirit of God is leading us. He's leading us to do what is right, and he's trying to lead us to stop doing what's wrong. I've experienced that many times, amen? And I know you have as well, that God leads us by his Spirit, amen? So what's that telling? If you go back to the verse, sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Okay, so he's proving that we are the sons of God because we are led by the Spirit of God. Amen? Each of us can sense that we belong in the same spiritual family with each other. There's just something about our conversation where we connect. We say, okay, yep, we've experienced the same thing. We know our God. You get around somebody, you know, that's speaking contrary to what the Word of God says, and there's a check in our spirit. So, something's not quite right here. I don't think they know the Lord the way they should. Amen. It might be another God, but we have a knowing, a sense on the inside of us that we belong to the same spiritual family as one another. Amen. We know on the inside, in our spirit man, that it's a natural thing to call God Abba or Father. It feels natural. It feels good. It feels right. Amen? And it should, because the Spirit of God is on the inside of us. And so it's natural. Amen? The Holy Spirit inside us confirms that very thing. As heirs of God, we are confident, amen, that all the promises belong to us. Amen? That's a special thing to be an heir, to know that, you know, whatever God promises in his word, we can have confidence that we can ask him for those things, you know, that we can receive the promises of God because we are heirs of Christ, or heirs of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Have you ever experienced God's discipline? You ever have that happen? I've had it happen a number of times. Amen? If you've ever experienced the discipline of God, that's good. It's a good thing. Amen? And why is that? Well, Proverbs 3:12 says this, "For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights." Amen? So God corrects us because he sees us as sons. Amen? He loves us enough to correct us, and he disciplines us. So glory to God. It's good to receive the correction of God. It's good that if we wouldn't have to receive it, obviously, but if we do receive it, we know that he's just expressing his love, just like we would do with our own children, you know. Don't touch that outlet. It's not a good thing. Amen. And we give them lots of other advice, not because we don't love them. We do it because we love them and care for them. Amen. Amen. God delights in you if he corrects you. Glory to God. I believe one of the greatest characteristics of a Father God is that of love. Is that of love. It really is the greatest characteristic in my estimation. The word says in 1 Corinthians 13 that without love we're nothing. And I believe if God were without love, he would be nothing as well. Of course, he is love. He can't be without love. But he would be nothing without it. Amen? Amen. The very thing is here that he requires of us to show that we are walking in love. And therefore, he requires that of his very self as well, that he is a God of love. I just want to read some things out of 1 Corinthians 13 here about what he requires from us. It says here in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things," amen, "and endures all things. Love never fails." Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God not only requires that of us, but that's his very nature right there as well. You know, you can expect to receive that from God. He does those things. He bears long. Amen. He's kind. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's not puffed up. If anybody had the right to be puffed up, it would be him. But he's very humble. Amen. He's a humble God. That's how a loving father acts. Amen. It's how we as loving fathers should act as well towards others. Whether we have children or not, we can still act like a father. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I was just thinking about this, and one of the things that I've always yearned from my earthly father was him saying, you know, I'm proud of you, son. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of your life and what you've done and your accomplishments. I think God puts that in us, that desire to hear that and receive affirmation from our parents, you know, that we've done well. You know, most children will try to please their parents. You know, I know I've tried to please my parents, I think just God puts that down on the inside of us, an innate desire to receive praise from the very ones who raised us, to know that they're pleased with us. Amen. It's down on the inside of us, and there's a reason for that. Amen. But it's interesting to me to know this, how God the Father did that to his son Jesus, how he praised him. And listen to these words from Luke chapter 3, verse 22. It says, "And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him," upon Jesus. "And a voice came from heaven which said, 'You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased.'" Think about that. You know, I have to be honest with you. You know, when I've read that in the past, pretty much what I was always thinking about was the idea that the Father wanted to allow people that were around Jesus to know, this is my son, this is who you need to listen to, okay? Recognize who he is, that he's come from heaven, and listen to him. And I believe that's part of the big picture as well. But there's another part of this picture here is this, that it blessed Jesus alone. Just the Father saying, I'm well pleased with you, you know? I think he said that to Jesus more than once, okay? He let him know, you know, son, I'm pleased with you. You're doing a great job here on earth, and come on up in heaven, you know, I just want to show you how much I love you and care for you. I remember a story Jesse Duplantis said that, and I'm making this story really, really short, but he had an experience where he was in prayer, and he felt himself go right into heaven. And he tells a story about that experience. But one of the things that he said he saw was Jesus was called to the Father, and he saw Jesus go into the Father and the Father into him and back and forth. And I think there's, you know, there's times of just intimacy where the Father just wants to let the Son know, you know, aside from everything else, you're special to me. I'm pleased with you. You know, you're my son, you know. And so I think it's important for us just to let our children know that they're special too. Amen. Find the things that about them that please you and share that with them. Hallelujah. Okay. So praise God. This was genuine praise for the Father to the Son. Amen. Genuine praise. Glory to God. So, you know, again, that's the kind of love a father should have towards a son or daughter is to share how proud they are of them. Hallelujah. And I know Jesus was perfect, and it's pretty easy for someone to be pleased with him and appreciate him like the Father did. But he walked in obedience too, you know, and that was important to the Father. Hallelujah. You know, imagine God the Father saying those words to you sometime, that he's well pleased with you. Amen. How would that make you feel? That'd make you feel pretty special. I know that would impact me. You know, praise influenced me. It influences me. Hey, you're doing a good job. Okay, I'm going to get out there and work harder. You know? It does something. It motivates us. God knows what we need to hear. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Our heart's desire and need is to be loved. to be loved. Amen. It's the greatest characteristic our Father God possesses. Hallelujah. His genuine ability to really love you and I. A while back, I saw a video that Gail had posted on Facebook, and it really touched me, and I just thought about that. I thought I'd share just a little bit about that. You know, in this video, there's this gentleman. He was reading a Bible, and he realized how the Jewish people had blessed their children all the time. Jewish people do that. And so no wonder they're always blessed, because they're always blessing their children. Amen? And this man had realized that his father hadn't blessed him during his life. Even though he came to that realization how important it is to do that, his father hadn't done that. So he determined he was going to bless his father. Amen? And so he wrote down 15 things about his father that were really special to him and that he appreciated in him. And he called up his father, and they got to meet over lunch one day. And began to share with his father of what he learned in the Bible about, you know, blessing your children. And he wanted to share with him how special he was. And he wanted to bless his father. And he did so. And that just really opened up his dad and softened him up. And they shed some tears. And his father, he returned the blessing to his son as well. And so you can see how important it is just to share those things about one another that are really special. And God the Father does that to us, and we should in turn do that to one another as well, is praise and encourage one another. Amen? Hallelujah. We were created to do exactly what God does, and He's a Father. Amen? And He wants to let us know that we're special. Amen? Hallelujah. Colossians 1:3 says this. It says, "We give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Amen. And I think that's something that we need to think about and we need to do, is we need to always give thanks to our Father. He's constantly thinking about us. He's constantly in love with us. He's watching over us. He's here with us now. He's going to be here with us throughout all eternity, watching over everything we do and caring for us. Amen. Doesn't He deserve thanks? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give thanks to Him. Let's just rise up and let's just thank the Father for all that He's done for us on this Father's Day. Father, we just love You and we appreciate You. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Thank You for all the different sides that You are, all the different names, all the things, Lord, that we need from You. Lord, we thank You that there is nothing, there's no place, there's nothing we can experience or go to that You can't take care of, that You can't solve. Lord, You have complete understanding. Hallelujah. And You've got an answer for everything. And we just want to thank You for that. Thank You. Thank You for all the provisions You've given us. Thank You for bringing us from where we were to where we are. And we thank You for taking us from where we are to where we need to be. We appreciate You and we love You. You're such a good, good God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless You this morning. We bless You this morning. We bless You always. Each and every day, Lord. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.